Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special virtual event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. This week's episode is titled My Number One EdTech Tip for Teachers, and it builds upon a topic from episode 92, where I shared some ways to make EdTech easier in 2021. Now, you don't have to go back and listen to that episode in order for today's episode to make sense, but if you do like this tip, you might want to check out episode 92, where I talk about some other favorites and just give a quick overview of what we'll go into a little bit deeper today. Now, this tip is a favorite for a lot of reasons and has a big impact on the way I talk with educators about education technology and the recommendations that I make when leading professional development for educators. So my number one tip is to use open-ended creation tools. Let's unpack the what, why, and how of this statement together, this idea of open-ended creation tools, so that I hopefully will convince you why this is top of my list, my number one, probably most frequently tip that I give in workshops and webinars and when answering quick questions that educators might drop into my DMs here on Instagram or another favorite place. So this idea of an open-ended creation tool is one that I come back to frequently when speaking to educators about making EdTech easier. I often get questions like, Monica, what is just one tool I should use, or what's one thing I should recommend to my colleagues? And open-ended creation tools really give students the space to make a product of their learning. Now, this doesn't have to be super duper complicated. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to make a movie every time they finish a project, or that they have to build a website once a week or anything like that. What it's really about is getting to know a tool that is a blank canvas and can be used in multiple settings. That way, if your kids are doing a video type of project, it's not about making a movie. It's about sharing what they learned during the science experiment that they completed, or giving some details and a deep dive on their favorite character from a novel. It really becomes the vehicle for their creation, their product of learning, and an open-ended creation tool really lets you scale the type of activities students will work on. So this is really a blank canvas that can be used in multiple settings. It's not a project for math tutorials or for those science lab reports or something like that, but it is a tool that can be used in multiple ways. So committing to learning how to use even just one single open-ended creation tool with your students can offer a big bang for your buck. If you can use the same tool with students across multiple projects, then you can really focus in on the things that are most important, like the components of your rubric that you know you really want to have students spend some time working on, or the checklist of things that you want to make sure kids really know, right? However you might frame that of what's most important to you when it comes to the content and the experience and the ability for kids to share their learning. Now, the key to picking an open-ended creation tool is to make sure it is flexible for lots of learning experiences. And in this episode, episode 94, right, of my Easy Ed Tech podcast, I'll dive into some specifics on why this is really on the top of my list of recommendations to educators, all the people that ask me, how can I make this easier or how can I make technology integration more simple? Right, this is really my go-to. And now there are lots of open-ended creation tools to choose from that allow you the space. Say you are a fourth grade teacher teaching multiple subjects, you could use the tool across all subject areas. Say you are a high school instructional coach, well, you could recommend this tool to educators that work in all different disciplines, right? So really thinking of something that's broad and flexible and customizable. And there are lots of them to choose from. Adobe Spark is one example. Spark Video, Spark Page, Spark Post. It's a tool I love so much that I co-wrote a book about it with Ben Forda, and I've done some work with their team. That one's on the list. Buncee is another one that is a great open-ended creation tool. Soundtrap EDU, which is an audio-based, kind of like a podcasting tool that is super flexible. You could have kids do all sorts of projects in there. Book Creator is another. If you've ever attended a webinar that I've done for Book Creator, you know I love them. I love that tool. It's super flexible, and I've done some work with their team too. And there are a lot more. And I'll link to these examples I just gave, the Adobe Spark tools like Spark Video, Post, and Page, Book Creator, Buncee, Soundtrap EDU. Wherever you're listening to this episode, I always put together a show notes page on my blog with lots of links. So I'll make sure to put those there. But before we go into some of the tools and all of that, I really want to think about kind of four big reasons why this is my number one tip, right? My number one tip to focus in on open-ended creation tools. So this really is something that you can share with colleagues and students and families, and it can support buy-in as well because you're really simplifying things for them. So the first kind of reason that goes along with this is that it helps streamline things. So if you are in a classroom teacher role and you are concerned about introducing too many tools, especially in an environment where you might be teaching at a distance, focusing in on one tool that is super flexible and you can use it in lots of different ways will make things easier for students and for families that are supporting their children learning at home. The streamlining is also something that can benefit your colleagues. So if you are in a coaching or mentoring role, whether that's a formal position or you kind of informally wear that hat, if you have an open-ended creation tool in your tool belt, you share that with colleagues and you let them know why that tool is so flexible and customizable, then this is something that can help build confidence among your colleagues, promote buy-in to using education and technology, and help you support them in a way that isn't as overwhelming as if you get emails about lots and lots of different tools over the course of the day or which buttons to press or anything like that. Now, another reason why I'm a big fan of open-ended creation tools is because it means you don't have to introduce too many tools to anyone. So just like streamlining, right, and making sure things are nice and smooth with any rollout that you might do, this eliminates having to introduce lots of tools over the course of the school year. Now, one of the reasons that can be problematic, introducing lots of tools, is that it takes up a lot of time, and it's not necessarily the time that you want to be allocating in a classroom, whether it's virtual or it's face-to-face, right? You want to spend that time on experiences that are different than just teaching students what buttons to press. So one of the reasons I like open-ended creation tools is that whenever I hear pushback, like we don't have time for this, or it's hard to fit this into our schedule, or I'm not sure when I would introduce something new to kids. Well, if you really invest the time and energy that first go of it, and you revisit that open-ended creation tool on a regular basis, this can be something that really eliminates that sort of barrier for implementation. Now, another reason that I like to use open-ended creation tools so much, and if you've been in a live workshop with me where we've all been in the same physical room together, or you've been in a Zoom style remote type of professional development with me, you know that I really like open-ended tools that keep it simple, where there's a microphone button because that's how you record. There's a plus sign that lets you add new things to a page or a slide. So if you can use an open-ended tool that really keeps it simple with the types of buttons and the types of intuitive interface that can make it easy to onboard someone, the better. So keeping it simple can mean a few different things. And in this conversation, I always come back to the ease of a user interface and making sure it's simple for everyone, whether it's students, colleagues, or family members to navigate. Now, the last piece about this that I think is really important is that when you are choosing kind of one big open-ended creation tool to focus in on, you can focus on quality versus quantity and make that a priority. So instead of having a really heavy tool belt with lots of different tools, you can focus in on quality, and that again will help streamline the implementation process for your group. Now, there are some features to look for if you are examining your current tool belt and kind of deciding, is this really an open-ended creation tool? And I've mentioned a couple, right? I mentioned the Spark tools and Book Creator, Buncee. You could add iMovie and Apple Clips to that list. You could add Microsoft Sway to this list, or even Google Slides, right? So lots of things that fall into this category. Let's take a look at some of the features that you should be on the lookout for if you are deciding if something truly is an open-ended creation tool. So, a couple features to look for as you are evaluating different tools in your tool belt is this tool a blank canvas? When I open it up, is it really giving me a choose your own adventure vibe, right? Is it a blank canvas where I get to decide what I add onto the page, what I record, all those pieces? So a blank canvas might feel intimidating if you are opening something up for the first time without much guidance. Well, when you are presenting these activities to students, of course, you have an example that you're sharing with them or guidance for what you want them to include in a movie or a website. But when we look at a tool, if we really want it to be flexible, it needs to have that blank canvas vibe. Like, I could take this in lots of directions and make different things. Now, another thing to consider is how customizable is the experience. When I look for an open-ended creation tool, I usually am looking for something that can let kids share in a few different ways, so it lends itself to any type of differentiation of product that I want kids to have, right? So that means for me that I'm often looking for things that have audio recordings in addition to maybe text that kids can type in. I'm looking for something that if there is a text component, it works well with any voice-to-text software that a student might use. So those are some things to consider, like how customizable is this going to be for any differentiation you want to make sure is ready and available for your group. The next thing that I'm looking for is this K-12 friendly. Now, this is a little bit of bias for me, right? And what I am looking for, this might not be high on your list, but because I do so much professional development with schools that are pre-K, you know, through 20, like sometimes, right? Or are all elementary. So K-6, big difference from our K to our 6 experience, right? So I'm looking for things that are K-12 friendly typically, because I know when I'm working with a group, I want to make sure it's going to be useful for all the students that are going to be impacted from the educators that I'm talking to that day. So it might not be super important to you, but if you're listening in and you're an instructional coach that works with a wide range of teachers and students, then you probably want something that's K-12 friendly. There's certain things that might feel more like upper elementary through high school friendly, or that might feel a little bit more elementary. So use your judgment, of course, but that's something that I'm always looking for. Now, the last thing is also something that's front of mind for me, and you can tweak this a little bit for your needs. Now, I'm typically looking for open-ended creation tools that are device agnostic, meaning they work on lots of different platforms. If you are a school that's 100% iPad, you're probably just looking for things that are iPad friendly. But if you have a sense that maybe your school's going to shift to Chromebooks next year, you may want to investigate and use and introduce open-ended creation tools that work on both Chromebooks and iPads. So my goal there is I'm always trying to anticipate, right, what kind of situation I'm going to be in. And I know that if I've got a tool that's super flexible, not just for the type of project we would make, that's important, of course, and how we started off this episode, but also flexible for what kind of tool that kids might use, that's something on my mind. And a special note about that piece of it being device agnostic or being able to use in different tools, this may not have been a concern that was high on your list this time last year, but now for sure, if you know that your students are typically using a smartphone, so even if you gave them a school issued device, but you know they're typically using a smartphone as they participate in distance learning because they might be sharing a device with family members, or they might be more on cellular than on Wi-Fi, you also want to think about, is that tool going to be friendly for smartphones? So that might be something that's on your list as you're choosing open-ended creation tools. So in this episode, my goal is to share with you some of the behind the scenes of my number one EdTech tip for teachers, which is to make sure that you've got some open-ended tools or one important open-ended tool that you're focused on all the time in your tool belt. Now let's finish up this episode like we always do with our tips to make this EdTech easy. First, decide on what you want an open-ended creation tool to be able to do. Next, try out a tool and see if it meets your needs. Then, brainstorm a few different ways you might use it with students. Finally, share your ideas with a colleague. Now, I know I mentioned a bunch of favorite open-ended tools in this episode. Head over to the show notes page to see the full list and links you can click on to learn more about each one. Just go to classtechtips.com/podcast and look for episode 94. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. A review makes a big difference in helping other people find the podcast. So if you're listening, especially on Apple Podcasts today, just scroll down to the bottom of the podcast feed. You should see some other ratings and reviews. Tap on those 5 stars. Leave maybe a sentence review. It would be a huge help and I would be so appreciative.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.